Welcome, everyone, to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, the NFL's coaching vacancies are now officially filled. We'll take a look at the hirings and tell you which ones we like best. Plus, with the NBA All-Star Game around the corner, we're going to revisit some NBA futures. There was a lot of shakeups at the trade deadline, a lot of odds shifts, so we're going to go ahead and give you some picks there. And you know it. You've got some Mox locks coming your way. But first, we welcome in our friend Danny Brasco. Danny, we haven't seen you since the Super Bowl. How are you recovering from Arizona? I'm still a little bit tired here. How you doing?
I'm wiped. Yeah, I've been tired since I got back. I literally have not picked up my energy yet. Been chugging coffee, but lots more to bet on. I mean, here we are in the second half of the NBA season. March Madness is coming up. Coaching changes in the NFL. I mean, lots to get into. I'm back. Let's do it. Football season's over, but so much more to look forward to. But I am a little bit sad.
I know. I'm a little bit sad, too. And I just want to also, you know, obviously we're sponsored by Caesars Sportsbook, so want to show them some love here. Talk to us again. Like, how was the truck? Like, how many people came through? How many people did you sign up for bets? Like, let's just show some love for Caesars.
Oh, it was awesome. And I got all the love in the world for Caesars for bringing me out there because I had such a great time. The truck was buzzing every day. They had a ton of great athletes come by. I got to meet David Tyree, you know, personal hero of mine, the helmet catch, best Super Bowl moment in history, and all sorts of fantastic athletes. Darren Woodson, I mean, Jamal Charles, Randall Cunningham. So there was always people coming by meeting their favorite pro athlete. And of course, I was slanging out bets and angles, and hopefully everyone took my advice on the Chiefs and was able to catch them big. So truck was great, Katie. It was really great.
Awesome. And you did well on your Super Bowl bets. I know we were both on the Chiefs there. I was leaning towards the under. I can't remember what your total was, but obviously that did not hit.
Yeah, that was my one big mistake. I took the Chiefs real heavy. I took the under pretty heavy too. So I'm really glad the Chiefs came through for me in the end, but that under got torched. And no matter what angle I could have come up with, doesn't matter who was refereeing that game or the defense, that thing was going over no matter what. So, hey, you live and you learn.
Yeah, the first two drives, they scored almost immediately. And I was like, well, RIP to the under. Okay, well, let's get into Mox thought. We'll stay in the NFL for a little bit longer. And let's talk some of these head coaching hires that have happened. The Cardinals hired Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon as their new head coach yesterday, becoming Arizona's fourth head coach in 7 years. So it looks like Jeff Saturday is headed back to ESPN. What do you think of this? The move comes after it was announced that the Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen will be the head coach of the Colts. The last time that a Super Bowl participant lost both coordinators in the same offseason was the 49ers in 2016, the Atlanta Falcons in 2016. And we had Kyle Shanahan come on over, thank God, to the 49ers, and they ended up firing their defensive coordinator as well. And apparently the last time that a Super Bowl team lost both coordinators to head coaching jobs was also the 49ers when Mike Shanahan, so both Shanahans are a part of this kind of history. But what do you think of this move, and what do you think it means both for the Colts and also for the Eagles having lost both their coordinators?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, the Colts have egg on their face now because Jim Irsay was so outspoken about the experience of Jeff Saturday and that it wasn't just, you know, like the hire felt so random and he was critiqued league-wide for it. There are people on his own staff that were perhaps more deserving. And, you know, it just felt like the owner's club kind of picking their best buddy, like, you know, a nepotism to an effect. And it turns out that, you know, after one exciting win in his debut, Saturday isn't really all that. And I don't know if that was going to be a future move anyway. So now they bring in someone new. We'll see how that fares. In terms of the Eagles, yeah, I mean, that defense was like really, really so highly thought of all season long and vaunted.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Katie, I mean, I don't want to let one game just totally change my opinion after we've watched 19 of them. Yeah. But like after Deebo Samuel was like, their secondary is trash. And then I watched maybe only the three good quarterbacks that they faced this year in Rodgers, Dak Prescott, and Patrick Mahomes totally dice them up. Like, I'm wondering how much credit I want to give to Gannon. That's my roundabout point. So, hey, nobody wanted Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. I'm sure Cardinals fans are thrilled. But words out on Gannon. I don't really know what to think of him, and I'll be watching him closely next season.
You know, I think I agree with you to a certain extent. And I'll say, look, hand up here. I'm obviously a 49ers fan, but I don't really love all of the talking that the 49ers did after, like, you know, Deebo really went hard on a couple things. You know, George Kittle said a couple things. Joe Staley got in the mix. And look, I understand being emotional. I also understand what it's like to have Eagles fans and players coming at you, because I took a lot of heat too. And you do want to fight back. And it was a situation where We lost our quarterback, so we were just had no chance to win that game. But I don't necessarily agree with everything that Debo said. And I think there is a lot of credit that's still due for the Eagles. I also think you look at the Chiefs, right, in their last Super Bowl loss, and Patrick Mahomes wasn't able to do anything. But that wasn't really a knock on their offense. It was really just how good that defense was. So I see what you're saying, but I do think that this is a good get for the Cardinals. I'm excited to see what he can do with Kyler Murray because, as you said, Cliff Kingsbury was just not the guy. And in terms of the Colts, yeah, they need all the help they could get. I still think that they're probably, you know, a couple years off from being a really good team. I know that we were kind of high on them when they got, who was it, Matt Ryan that came? I get all the old quarterbacks confused, like Matt Ryan and all the other guys, but yes. I agree there, but let's look at all of them as a whole, right? So the Cardinals got Gannon, the Colts got Steichen, the Texans got D'Amico Ryans, Broncos, Sean Payton, Panthers, Frank Reich. Who do you think won the lottery here in terms of coaches and, you know, who's going to have the biggest impact immediately? Obviously, some of these programs are going to take a couple years. Like the Texans, I don't see them coming out big this year. I really like D'Amico Ryans a lot, but I think it's going to take a little bit more time. The Broncos with Sean Payton is pretty interesting to me. I'm not convinced that Russell Wilson will never be good again. It may just be, well, one, unfortunately, he's just not that likable anymore. I don't know how his team feels about him. That's just what it is, right? But there's still something special inside of him. I still kind of hold on to let Russ cook, and maybe Sean Payton is the one to bring it out of him. We do know that Drew Brees was his favorite quarterback, was Russell Wilson's favorite quarterback, so maybe that could be a match. But looking at these coaches, what do you think? Who won the lottery here?
It's hard not to just kind of go with, like, there's no odds on this, but I'm going to call it the chalk, right? Like, it's got to be Sean Payton and the Broncos just because, simply put, you can't go lower than the bottom. And the Broncos had so many expectations on them, and they met none of them. They were stuck in the mud on offense. The fan base was furious with the play calling. The coaching couldn't have been worse. And the star quarterback that they got on a big multi-year contract did nothing. I agree with you. I don't think Wilson is as bad as last season. I think he was just sort of a product of his environment. And immediately Sean Payton's talking about culture changes. No more personal coaches. No more of this Russell Wilson's, you know, like, what is all
have
that?
Have your own office. Yeah.
Weird, and parking weird spot. Stuff. And you know Payton's like, kind of like a classic football guy. He's going to come in there and be like, none of this is allowed. Like, absolutely not. Like, you know. So I think he'll come in there and clean it up a little bit. I like Payton in Denver for sure.
I like Payton in Denver for sure. What do you think about D'Amico Ryans with the Texans? Do you think that that's going to have a big impact? Or do you think they're probably a couple years out? I mean, what's the quarterback situation over there anyways?
Right. The roster he's got is the roster he's got. But that was my second favorite one that you were going to, you know, that you've brought up now is I love that the former player coming back to his old team. He was that dude on the Texans too, despite like them never really being a great team. This guy led the league in tackles year in and year out. I mean, I would look up and he would have like 19 tackles in a game. Like, this guy's all over the field. So I just think you know him better than I do after being the D coordinator of the Niners. Like, the culture he brings, the energy he brings, he's such a leader. And I think he's going to be a good head coach with a defensive specialty and mindset. And again, culture change is really what coaches are best. You know, coming into a franchise like this, that would be his best asset if he could bring that into Houston. And I think he's the best candidate to do so. So I definitely like that hire.
I definitely like that hire a lot, too. One, I've got a special place for him in my heart. Obviously, he did so well with the 49ers this year. But I also think, like, the difference between the star player coming home than, let's say, like, Jeff Saturday and the Colts is, like, D'Amico Ryans has been a coach for a very long time. And he kind of started at the bottom and worked his way up to a defensive coordinator. And then now he's getting the head coach job. So he's done all of the work on the coaching side. And when it comes to culture, I mean, he has just done such a good job with the 49ers. So I'm really excited to see what he can do with the Texans. And again, I love that come home story. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to head into Caffer's Corner. The thing about Caesars Sportsbook is it's not just an app. It's your key to a whole empire. Hotels, casinos, restaurants, shows, Caesars Palace, I'm sure you've heard of it. Every bet you place with Caesars Sportsbook brings you closer to perks only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays at iconic destinations, app bonuses, merch, show tickets, and many more Caesars Rewards perks. So get started today. Register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a bet credit.
Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas. Affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. Affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK, 467-369. Offer not available in Ohio or Maryland.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time now for Capper's Corner, and we'll welcome back our friend Danny Brasco. Danny, the NBA trade deadline was wild, and we didn't even really get a chance to talk about it because we were at the Super Bowl, we were in Arizona, but it was absolutely bonkers. So I thought it'd be a good time for us to check in on some NBA futures as we head into this All-Star break. It's kind of the middle part of the season, so a lot has happened. Obviously, biggest trades, probably KD and Kyrie, essentially blowing up the Brooklyn Nets and making the Western Conference really, really hard, which as a Dubs fan, I'm not exactly too happy about it. On the East, it's I think everyone on the East is doing a little bit better because the Nets have basically plummeted on the odds board. And now the Suns have skyrocketed as the number two favorite to win the championship. So let's go ahead and take a look at some of these conference winners first. So you got the Celtics in the East. We're starting with the Eastern Conference. So Celtics plus 135. Then you got the Bucks plus 190. 76ers plus 450. Then we go down to the Cavs at plus 1,000. And then it goes down from there. What are you thinking? And the Nets are basically not even in contention anymore, which rightfully so. And by the way, you and I both know, I was not thinking that the Nets were going to get far anyways because they hadn't been doing it in the last couple years, even with all of those stars. But what are you thinking of the East right now? You like your Knicks as a long shot?
No, I've learned long ago to not put any type of that serious hope into the New York Knicks. They'll only let you down and break your heart. But hey, I do like the improvements we made this year, but they're not in the contention to take the Eastern Conference. We'll just say that much right now. And just while I'm digging New York, Brooklyn's a fake franchise. So I'm glad that we've totally dismantled the, you know, superficial aesthetics of that team. The super team that they tried to make that is now just a colossal disaster, you know, and waste of money.
Yeah. I saw a tweet, and my friend Maddie Burke had actually shared this, that said the Brooklyn Nets are kind of like the Muppets take New York. They all come to New York. They try to take New York. It doesn't work. And then they break up and they leave New York. And I was like, yeah, that they are the Muppets. They are the Muppets take New York.
Bunch of Muppets those Nets are. Well, yeah, that's amazing. Using that. I think out of the teams here in the East, which, like you said, certainly got weaker while the West got crazy. So, yeah, a lot of these teams got to be like, all right, our path just got, you know, perhaps a little bit easier towards that title. How can I look away from Giannis and the Bucks? The obvious team to me that's sticking out on paper is the Celtics, of course. They're top five in offense and defensive rating. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, another year together. Marcus Smart, like that trio has experience. They've been tested in the playoffs. I think they're going to be really good and probably meet on a collision course with the Bucks in, you know, in what should be the conference semis. And I'm going with the Bucks again because it just feels like they're Chris Middleton away from winning another championship. Giannis is averaging, 32-12 in his sleep, and Drew Holiday is having his best year. So I just feel like if Middleton can get healthy, that big three is as good as any. And I think they overtake even the Celtics with the willpower and just unstoppability of Giannis. So yeah, give me the Bucks to do it again. I feel like they kind of slept on weirdly.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And even the game last night, right? It was the Bucks and the Celtics, and the Celtics were missing everybody. I mean, they had basically nobody on the court. Their big three was out, and they still held on with the Bucks, which I did find kind of interesting. I mean, obviously the Bucks still won the game, but the Celtics ended up covering the 9 points. And I agree that the Celtics are still the top dog, but the Bucks are just right up there. They're just one win away. And Milwaukee has, as you said, the best player in the conference in Giannis. They added Jay Crowder, and though he hasn't played yet because he was kind of in the Suns limbo thing, I do think that that's going to be some added value to them, and he's going to be pretty big. And you look at someone like Cleveland, I like them at +1,000, but they really didn't participate in the trade deadline at all, and mostly because they expended all of their resources to get Mitchell, and we'll have to see how that pans out. But I don't really feel like Cleveland is a real contender here. I like the Bucks, and I'm with you on that. But if I'm looking for like more of a value play, I kind of think that the Sixers could be a little bit frisky at +450. You've got Joel Embiid and James Harden. Obviously, this duo can make noise anywhere, right? Whether it's regular season or postseason. Embiid is putting a monster season together right now. MVP caliber. He's the second shortest odds behind the Joker. And then you got Tyrese Maxey, who's also been doing really well, helping them with scoring, averaging about 20 points per game. The only caveat here is, will Harden shed his reputation of being a choke artist in the playoffs? I don't know. But I do think that if Harden can step up and be the Harden that we've seen in the regular season, and Embiid is still doing as well as he did, the Sixers could make a little bit of noise in the East.
I like the pick. I just can't bring it to the window because I feel like the 76ers need like one of those restaurant hazard and safety things in their locker room in case you need to do the Heimlich. Because perennial choke artists, like they don't know how to get over the hump. And I don't trust it. I never do.
I feel you. I feel you. I'm just saying a little bit of value there, possibly some reasons, but I agree. It's going to be the Celtics or the Bucks. I like the value better on the Bucks. I just like Giannis and what he's able to do. I think it's going to be a big season for him. All right, let's go to the West, which is just depressing for me. So the Suns are the favorite now, +230. In fact, I believe they were the favorite before. Nuggets right after them, +375. Then you got the Clippers, the Grizzlies, and then the Warriors and the Mavs are tied at +750. You know, the West was turned upside down with Kyrie and KD trades. So what do you think here? Is it just the Suns? Is that just what it is? Do you see some value now in the Mavs with Kyrie? It's a little interesting because he's had a great season in terms of scoring with the Nets, but I still just kind of don't trust him not to blow up another franchise.
Yeah, exactly. Like wherever he goes, drama follows. And I don't like, I'm sure the backcourt is going to be so dynamic. There's no doubt that it will be talented. They will score. They'll be lighting it up, dishing left and right. I just, again, when you put two primary ball handlers back, you know, next to each other like that, the way that Luka plays, like he takes like 18 seconds of the shot clock sometime back and down, you know, back to the basket. Like, I don't know, is Kyrie going to like run around screens and look for like the catch and shoot like threes? I just don't quite know how it's going to work. And then we always ask that. Well, when you put all those superstars, who's going to touch the ball? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I don't want to run and jump at the Suns to the same point, just because like it feels like, remember when LeBron went to the Heat the first year they assembled that super team? Like it didn't quite work immediately. Yeah. They got to figure it out quick. There's a lot of rotations and, you know, schemes to figure out. I don't know if it happens overnight. Of course, the Suns look horrifying on paper, but we ain't playing on paper. So I'm going to take a little long shot and I'm going to go with the Nuggets, actually, oddly enough, at +475. They're the number one team. They have a 5-game lead in this insane Western Conference. So they should hang on and get home court advantage, which is huge in Denver. You got the altitude. You got the MVP, Jokic, I think, who's going to run away with this thing. A center averaging a triple-double. That isn't even real. And they're finally healthy. Jamal Murray, always hurt. Or a role player like Barton or MPJ or some, always hurt. They're healthy. He's got shooters around him. Maybe they're being slept on because, again, they're always a kind of early exit in the playoffs, too. They're considered maybe more of a regular season team. So maybe we're sleeping on the Nuggets a little bit. They're the one seed and not even close to the top of the odds. So I'll take a chance on them, hoping that they're maybe being undervalued. But it's a tough West out there.
It's a tough West. And look, I'm a Warriors fan, and I have to say, you can never count the Warriors out right now. They're in the play-in tournament. And to me, Steph Curry's out right now, and we just acquired Gary Payton II back, and to see him come back is going to be good. And the role players are starting to step up a little bit. And Klay Thompson, we've seen some greatness from Klay Thompson, and he just had his first back-to-back last night since 2019. So he's starting to get healthier. And so I think the Warriors in the playoffs is not a team that anybody wants to see, right? Because they have all of the experience, they have all of the depth, and they're always going to have a shot to make a long run. But I'm not necessarily taking them yet. And I look at someone like the Suns, it's chalky. And like you said, on paper, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm sorry, Booker, KD, CP3, like, my goodness. But we don't know what their chemistry is going to be. And like you said, we saw it happen in Miami. We saw it happen with the Lakers when the Lakers had all the oldies but the goodies assembled, you know, like some kind of super team. And then it was an absolute disaster last year. So it depends on what that chemistry is going to look at. Like, I also think that the Suns' depth may be a bit of an issue because they had to give up some key pieces, Mikal Bridges, Cameron Johnson, all to get Durant. So we'll have to see what that looks like. If we're going frisky here, though, Danny, right? If we're taking like a crazy long shot, the Lakers, okay? Hear me out. At plus 2,000. Now, look, this is a long shot, okay? So it's not like I'm putting my whole hopes and dreams into this one. But they let off some of the dead weight, right? No more Russell Westbrook, okay? Or Brookbook, as we like to call him. Pat Bev, which that was kind of hilarious to me because he was talking a lot of trash, and then he got moved to the Magic. You know, they got D'Angelo Russell now. They got Jared Vanderbilt. They got Malik Beasley, Mo Bamba, all in the process. Which means to me, they've significantly improved on both ends of the floor. And like Beasley, he's a legitimate 3-point shooter now that they have. And you got AD and LeBron. If they can stay healthy with this added depth at plus 2000, like, I feel like it's a frisky bet, but for a long shot, I kind of like it. I feel like they can make a push after the All-Star break. And if they start clicking and everybody's healthy, if they get into the playoffs, they could be a frisky team.
And you see LeBron dejected when it's not going his way on the sideline. He cares so much about this season. Maybe it's me, his tweets, like, why won't people come? Why is everything going against us? He really cares about the season. So you want to take a long shot on the GM maybe having put together the right little role players around him? Who knows? And hey, to a point about your Warriors, we talk about stock market comparisons all the time, right? I mean, this is as good as a buy low spot as any, right? I mean, the defending champions are at their lowest stock. No one's really considering them to make a run now that the West is as scary as it's ever been. Yet, it's still Steph Curry, Klay Thompson over there. You know, not that much has changed. They didn't do all that much at the deadline. I think they just moved Wiseman for some tax incentives. So I read an article. Someone was like, well, you know, while the Suns and everyone loaded up, the Warriors essentially settled their tax bill, which I thought was like, okay, you know, they're kind of sat on the sidelines a bit, but hey, they're defending champs for a reason. So I wouldn't count them out quite yet. And like you said, anyone draws them in the playoffs, it's not a matchup you're liking.
It's not a matchup you're liking. And Danny, no one really believed in the Warriors last year either. They had kind of a struggling regular season. And I remember after the round one of the NBA Finals, I saw the first couple games and I was like, I put a futures ticket for the Warriors to win the whole damn thing. And they did. And I cashed really big. All right, Danny, let's move on to talk about the whole shebang. Who is going to win the NBA championship this year? You got the Celtics as the favorite, plus 350. Suns, plus 450. Then you got the Bucks, the Nuggets, the 76ers, the Golden State Warriors, all the way down to plus 1400. You want to talk about a buy low spot. Who are you liking to take the whole thing?
It's the easier conference to get out of, I should say. And it's the best team in that conference. So I'm going to go with the Bucks to win it all at plus 475. Yeah. Whoever gets out of the West will probably leave bloodied and bruised because it's going to be rough getting through there. And hey, maybe they'll come out sharpened as ever. And, you know, and it'll be the Suns or the Nuggets or, you know, powerhouse over there to take it. I just feel like Giannis is the anti-defense. There's nothing for him. And when he has the healthy pieces around him, he could win the NBA championship any year. So Drew Holiday, like I said earlier, having his best year. I think they're Chris Middleton, who's always the Robin to his Batman that they need. When Chris Middleton is on and can make those clutch time shots, the Bucks are better than anybody in the NBA, I think, and have the most unstoppable player. And simply put, I'm going to go with that to win the championship. So give me the Bucks plus 475.
I love it. I'm on the Bucks as well. But in the course of this conversation, I've talked myself into the Warriors plus 1,400. Because they get in a best of seven, this is not a team that you want to see. They have so much experience. They have so much depth. They have so many shooters. And I feel like the regular season is almost boring to the Warriors. You get them in the postseason and they are a different team. If the Warriors get in and make some noise in the West and they get to a final, I'm sorry. It's hard for me to go against the, four-time national champions since this crew has been together, maybe seven all time. I don't know what I'm saying right now. All I'm saying is that the Warriors at plus 1,400 is worth it to me now. And I'm changing my answer and I am going with that. All right, let's talk MVP. You got the Joker as the favorite yet again, minus 175. You got Embiid plus 250. You got your guy Giannis plus 750. And Luka, who I was really high on in the beginning of the season, or preseason rather, I took him as MVP. He has dropped all the way down to plus 1,000. What do you think for MVP?
Yeah, I was with you on Luka early on. I tuned into a Knicks-Mavs game that I got interested in betting on, and it was the game that he had like a 50-point triple-double and did everything under the sun to win that game on his own. I was like, holy crap, stop the season now, just give him this award, because it's one of the best regular season performances I've ever seen in my life. I was floored. But as the season's gone on, we know there are 82 games of these to play. Nikola Jokic is doing something that makes no sense. There have been two players thus far in history to average a triple-double. Oscar Robertson, widely considered one of the greatest ball handlers and players to ever play the game. Russell Westbrook, in his prime, obviously, stat machine, game breaker. And now a 7-foot center, Nikola Jokic, who's averaging over 10 assists. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't happen. And he does it effortlessly. And his team is the best in the best conference with a 5-game lead going into the one seed, likely to lock it up going into the playoffs. So, it's chalky at minus 175. I'm not a rocket scientist for picking this. But how do we look away from Nikola Jokic, who will very likely average a triple-double as a center? I mean, period after that, right?
And he does, yeah, regularly. And look, I like Jokic as well, minus 175. Obviously, we don't love that price. So I'm looking more at Joel Embiid. And look, I said that the Sixers were kind of a frisky pick and a possibility of going far in the East. So if I think that can happen, then I'm going to go with Joel Embiid at plus 250. He has also finished second in the MVP voting in each of the last two seasons. Like, at some point, you got to hope that he's going to break through here. Over the last 11 games, he has averaged 33.5 points, 11.2 rebounds, 3.4 assists, and 2.7 stops. So he's just barely surpassing Luka for the league's leading scorer, 33.4 points per game. And he's had 5 games over 40 this season, 1 game over 50. He dropped 53 against the Hornets in December. So slightly better value. If I think that the Sixers can make a run and Joel Embiid has been having such a great season, he continues to, I'm going to go with Embiid on this one. And again, let's not count out Steph Curry, because I'm always going to somehow bring it back to the Warriors here.
The Bay Area. Well, this will be Jokic's third in a row, so I'm rooting for that. I'm rooting for some more history. But behind him, I do like Embiid just for his sheer dominance. He's finished so close, like you said, in the standing. So, yeah, if there's a second pick behind him for sprinkling for plus money for much better odds, Embiid is a good second choice to back. I like that.
All right, Danny, let's now take a look at some of Caesars odds boosts for tonight's games. We're not betting a lot on these, just a little bit of sprinkle. It's always kind of fun. So here are some of that we pulled out for you. Got the All-Star. I don't know why I have such a hard time saying All-Star. The All-Star Front Court Parlay Boost, the Point Guard Dual Boost, the NBA East Parlay Boost, and the NBA West Parlay Boost. What do you like?
I like this duel, Knicks-Hawks right here. That's the game I'm going to be watching, obviously. So get me involved in this point guard dual boost. Yeah, and Jalen Brunson, all-star snub. Maybe he goes off, has a 30-point game to, rub it in their faces. And, of course, Trae Young's going to have to match him if he wants to. So that sounds like a fun one. Give me the point guard duel.
Okay, first of all, when we get into Capper's Corner, this is the game that I have isolated for us today in the NBA. I love this game to go over as it is. So by the way, guys, this is each of those players, Jalen Brunson and Trae Young, to score over 29.5 points at plus 500. Now, Brunson averages 30.8 points per game in his last five games. Trae averages just about 28 points per game versus the Knicks in his career. He had 27 in the last outing. So he's the one that's got to get over the hump here, but he does play better at home. And I like this over. So plus 500. I agree with you. I'm on this as well for a little sprinkle.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So now let's get into mocks locks. It can be any sport that is being played today. Danny, what are you taking to the window?
All right, really good slate of college games on today. So I'm going to go to college hoops and Big Ten action. Northwestern taking on Indiana. Katie, one of my favorite college basketball betting angles is Big Ten unders. This is where games go to die. They play slow. They play good defense. They know each other well. And this is a really important game. Northwestern has thrived on the back of their defense all year long. They beat Purdue, the number one team, was able to turn the big man Zach Edey over six times. And I think that's big because Indiana loves to play inside with Trace Jackson Davis. If they give him issues and crowd him in the paint, I think this game could stay under in a very slow-paced one. So give me the under in Northwestern Indiana under 134.5.
All right, the king of the under likes the Big Ten unders where games go to die. I love that. So I told you earlier, I've isolated this Knicks and Hawks games, and I actually have two bets for that. So I'm taking the Knicks plus the 1.5 in the first half. You know I love my Knicks first half bets, so minus 110. And I also like the over 233.5, which I hinted to already in the boost. So the Knicks are on a little bit of a surge right now. They've won two in a row, averaging 125 points per game in those two wins. And they've also cashed the over in both of those games, Hawks coming off a loss to the Hornets. Head-to-head, Atlanta has won two of the first three games this season, but the Hawks are only 11-19 as an against-the-spread favorite. And when you look at three-point underdog or more this season, the Knicks 10-8-1. That's compared to 8-14-1 that the Atlanta Hawks are as three-point favorites. I like them actually in the full game. The Knicks on the road have been pretty good, 16-12 away from home, but you can't always trust the Knicks for the full game, people, but they are money in the first half. I've been preaching this now for 2 years. Their first half margin average is plus 2.5 this season, plus 3 in the last three games. And they're against the spread record in the first half, 40-18-1, 18-10 on the road. Give me the Knicks plus the 1.5 in the first half. I also like this over. It's connected in 25 of the previous 37 meetings between these two teams. It's also 7-3 in the last 10 games for the Knicks. And it's also 5-1 in the past six road games. So loving this over and loving the Knicks in the first half. What's your second bet?
Wow, love those trends. And yeah, I was going to say, I feel like the Knicks were great in the first half last year and you were giving that out a lot. There you have it, 2 years running.
Just don't bet them in the second half. You're always going to be disappointed. I did once this season. I bet them full game. They covered in the first half, not in the second. I was like, never again. Never again. You just don't know how they're going to fall apart in the fourth quarter, which you as a Knicks fan know very well.
Yeah. I was just about to say they find new creative ways to lose that you didn't know were possible every day. So it's always a good time. My second mocks lock, Katie, I'm going to go back to college here. And this is maybe the best game of the night, perhaps, or one of the more better games of the night. It's TCU taking on Iowa State. I like TCU plus 4 with the points. Caesar still has plus 4. Grab it there. It's the best line I saw out there. And look, Eddie Lampkin and Miles are coming back tonight. Those are two best players. Without them, they've really struggled. But Iowa State, speaking of struggles, I mean, they've really fallen off a cliff as of late, and mostly defensively. I think that their defense was creating a really good offense for them. When they struggle on defense, they struggle on offense. It works in tandem. I've seen a lot of fall off from them as of late. I think Eddie Lampkin and Miles come back tonight and absolutely light it up for TCU. Needs them bad. So big game. Give me the points with TCU plus four.
Taking the points with TCU. All right, Danny's isolated some college games for us tonight. I, of course, am heavy on the Knicks and the Hawks. Danny, thank you so much. As always, this has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Bets, and we'll see you next time.